Hallelujah. We're on our way to Zion. And we're on our way to not only our eternal home, but our permanent home. And in so doing, there are trials and tribulations. There's all kinds of things that are happening. And one of the areas is that the enemy continues to rise up in all sorts of places. He pops his head up and his little soldiers try to take advantage of the upright. But he who is in us is greater than he is in the world. And the word says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that we are more than conquerors. And so by being more than a conqueror, there's an area and strategies that we've got to constantly understand and be able to see and realize, especially the attack of the enemy. You know, he does not attack you in the area where it tells you that he is the devil and he's going to come and attack you that day. It doesn't work that way. He comes in a strategic way where you least expect it. Is everybody with me? And in so, what he tries to do is cause us to become deceived. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. And he tries to entangle us. His purpose is to come to steal, kill, and destroy. But the Lord said, I've come to bring you life and life more abundantly. And there are areas that the enemy tries to always put limitations on our life. And these limitations are called strongholds, and they are established in us by things that we come in agreement with. And when you come in agreement with a stronghold, it prevents you from going any further. It always put a limitation on your life. In fact, since the moment that you and I were brought into this world, the enemies always try to put limitations on us, and fears and sicknesses, diseases and infirmities and tragedies that happen in our life. And he's always tried to put people around us that would try to bring negativity or speak labels over our life to bring limitations. You know, I'm sure everyone in here has always heard something, well, you're just like such and such, or you'll never amount to this or whatever. You always be. You know, people go to the 12-step program and they always admit that they're an addict. And that puts a limitation on them. That means they can never be free. They're always fighting in the area of addiction. And it doesn't mean that they're not using. It means that they're managing. And one of the things that we don't want to do is manage. We want to have freedom. Jesus didn't come to tell you how to manage things. He came to you how to get set free from things. And so in this, we are a time right now where we are about to enter tribulation. We are very close to it. And in this tribulation is actually acknowledged as Jacob's trouble. And Jacob representation of Israel's trouble. And it's 7 years. And it begins in the area of Jacob being deceived or becoming a deceiver or agreeing with it. And one of the things during this period of time, one of his sons was named Joseph. And Joseph was used during the time of famine. He was raised up, and Joseph had to get thrown in jail, sold, and rejected by his own brothers. But God used Joseph strategically to go like underground almost and make way all the way to become Pharaoh's right-hand man, where even the pagan god, the pagan rituals and all that began to acknowledge Joseph's God and respected Joseph. So that Joseph was truly in position during the time of famine and able to rescue God's people. So there are Josephs being raised up all over right now in certain areas, in the area where God is establishing in preparation. But we are what we call in this preparation, there is another famine coming. Because see, even in the Old Testament, there was famines many times, off and on. There'd be famines, and then there'd be prosperity, and then there'd be famines and prosperity and so forth. But there is another famine coming that's going to be devastating. It's going to be devastating. And in that, I truly believe that God is raising up and preparing us. Not only in the spirit of Elijah, but also in the spirit of Joseph. In preparation for what is coming. So we turn to Genesis chapter 25. And one of the areas I'm going to talk about, and which is led on my heart, is the area of Joseph and understanding his coming in. I mean, I want to talk about Jacob. I'm sorry. In Genesis 25 and verse 19, let's read it. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. So she had twins. She has two children. And the Lord said to her in verse 23, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." The older shall what? Serve the younger. So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. In other words, a man of the world. And Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. Well, who else dwelt in tents? Who else dwelt in the tabernacle? Hello. In other words, one was a promise, one was of the world, and one was of a seed of promise. One was of God. In verse 28, "And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom." Now, remember that Esau was of the world. Is everybody with me? And Jacob was of the promise. So Esau's concern was getting his stomach fed. Jacob was more concerned about the promise or his inheritance. Is everybody okay? And verse 31. "But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold him his birthright to Jacob." So, this is powerful, because Esau, who was of the world, who had an inherited birthright, sold it for a bowl of beans, man. Because he was of the world. He was more concerned in fulfilling and feeding his flesh than was in fulfilling the will of God. So Jacob actually manipulated Esau. He said, "Okay, man, here's my opportunity. You want the food? Give me the promise." So he actually manipulated Esau and deceived him in this arena so that he could receive the birthright. Is everybody okay? Now remember, it was told from the Lord that the older would serve the younger. And who was the older? Esau. And he was going to serve Jacob. Again, Esau was really worldly, but Jacob was mild. In other words, he dwelt in tents because of the area of being in God's presence. Esau fed the flesh. Jacob was more interested in the birthright or inheritance. So he did take advantage of his weakness. So Esau was deceived. And Esau's weakness was actually of the flesh. And anything that's associated with the flesh is always associated with deception. In Genesis 27. And verse 1. Let's read it. "And it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau his older son and said to him, 'My son,' and he answered and said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt game for me and make me a savory food such as I love and bring it to me that I may eat of it and that my soul may bless you before I die. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt game and brought and to bring it. And so Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me their two choice kids of the goats, and I will make a savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father that he may eat it and that he may bless you before his death.' And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, 'Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be a deceiver to him. And I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing.'" Smart dude. "But his mother convinced him and said to him, 'Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me.' And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And as his mother made a savory food such as his father loved, and Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And so he went to his father and said, 'My father,' he said, 'Here I am. Who are you, my son?' And Jacob said to his father, 'I am Esau, your firstborn.'" Did he lie? Yeah, he lied. "I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me.' But Isaac said to his son, 'How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?' And he said, 'Because the Lord your God brought it to me.' Isaac said to Jacob, 'Please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not.' So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him, and he said, 'The voice of Jacob's voice, but the hands of Esau.' And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him and he said, 'Are you really my son Esau?' And he said, 'I am.' And he said, 'Bring it near to me and I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you.' So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, 'Come near now and kiss me, my son.' And he came near and he kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his clothing, and it blessed him and said, 'Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you.'" Wow. So we see here that Jacob actually lied to receive the blessing from Isaac, which was due to Esau. But you also got to understand that Esau already sold his birthright, didn't he? So you think that maybe if Jacob would have waited, God would have made way? Amen. But mom got involved and said, "Come on, you got to do this now. Now's the time." And this is actually how the circumstance started with Jacob's trouble. In fact, the word Jacob represents the word deceiver. But, you know, God's going to turn things around, doesn't he? So what had eventually happened is Jacob had to leave. And his father blessed him. And he sent him out to Laban to go marry. And he ended up getting married, but he didn't marry the woman he wanted. He was deceived by Laban because Jacob was now reaping what he sowed. So he had to serve Laban for 7 years for the first wife, and he got deceived. He woke up with another woman. Hallelujah. And you only thought that happened in the world, huh? And And so to get the woman that he loved, he had to serve Laban another 7 more years. So he actually served him 2 7-year sentences. I mean, 7-year things for the periods of time for the for the woman. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis 32. Genesis 32 and 22. Dear God, help me. Yeah. So now something had to happen. Oh, boy. In verse 22, and he arose that night and took his 2 wives. Now, understand that Esau and Jacob were now feuding against each other. But God was going to make a way for amends and then to get reconciled. So Jacob and his 2 wives, now look at verse 22. So he, Jacob, arose that night and took his 2 wives, his 2 female servants, and his 11 sons, crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and he sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." You know, the Bible says grab hold of God and he'll grab hold of you. Too many people let go before the blessing is manifested. You know? And God's sometimes going to struggle with, allow you to struggle and go through things to see if your heart is truly his. So Jacob was tested. So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." And the word Israel is a representation of the word overcomer. So Jacob was first acknowledged as a deceiver, and then he became an overcomer because he wrestled with God. Hello. Now you know that nobody can beat God. Hello. Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. So, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." So we see here that God began to change things. He changed things for he took Jacob, who was a deceiver, turned him into an overcomer. And now from that point on, his blessings were going to begin to come to full force, full course. Now go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Now I said all that to go here. John chapter 4. And verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the 6th hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then a woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now, remember, what does the word represent of Jacob? Deceiver. Now, I want you to get this because we're going to go spiritually in this arena, because this was actually a well of delusion. It was a well of deception, because its representation was of the world. And Jesus was saying, "Listen, I got another well for you. I got another drink for you. You don't have to drink the drink of the world no more. I got a drink that's going to bring you life. True life." And verse 11, and the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five of them. And the dude you're shacking up right now ain't your husband either, honey. Why? Because she was drinking out of the well of deception. Okay, verse 18, we'll read it, of course, what it says. For you have had five husbands, and one whom you now have is not your husband. See, it's the same thing. And that is your, and that you spoke truly. In other words, she was shacking with some dude, man. So she was drinking at a well of deception and living according to the ways of the world. Isaiah 5. Better be careful what you drink. Isaiah chapter 5. And verse 11. Would you read it with me? Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink. Was the drink of the world intoxicating? Yes, it brings deception. It brings delusion. Who continue till night till wine inflames them. The harp and the strings, the tambourine and flute and the wine are in their feast. But they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his what? Of his hands. Therefore, my people have gone into what? Captivity. So if you drink of this water, we'll bring you into captivity. Yes. But they have no knowledge. In other words, they have not gotten revelation. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell has enlarged in itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp or pompous or pride. And he who is jubilant shall descend into it. People shall be brought down. Each man shall be humbled. And the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. And God who is holy shall be hallowed in righteousness. Then the lambs shall feed in their pasture in the waste places of the fat ones. Strangers shall eat. This is powerful because it's talking about being careful of what you drink in the world. And this is called the spiritual drink. It brings intoxication. It's the areas where people begin to drink. The Bible says, feed on the Lord. Feed on his faithfulness. You know, and people begin to drink at the things of the world. And it's things that they come in agreement with. It's things they begin to drink and feed on. And it brings intoxication. It brings the area of delusion and deception. And it causes false vision. Is everybody with me? And in this drink, it is not faith. Because faith is allowing you to be able to see spiritually. What it does is actually blind you. It blinds individuals. They're no longer walking in faith. They're walking in assumption. They can no longer hear the voice of God. They hear the voice of the stranger. Revelation 17. And the word warns us about these times that will come. And we are in these times even greater than we have before. Because we're getting closer and closer to tribulation. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1. Revelation 17 verse 1. Let's read it together. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth were made to what? Were drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, and a woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and in the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. See, one of the things that happens is that when individuals begin to drink of this water or the well of deception or delusion, they get drunk with the wine of fornication, which it feeds, they get fed on destroying the believer. Are you listening? They get fed and bring in divisions. They get fed. And they don't even know it. They're being used by the powers of darkness. They get fed by that. They find fulfillment in bringing down believers. Does everybody understand this? And some of them are supposedly believers themselves. Because God warned us that brother will come against brother. And it's because they're drinking of the wrong well. You know, the word tells us that there is a wise virgins and foolish virgins. And the foolish virgins were not staying filled with the Spirit of God. But the wise virgins will. Are you listening? And Revelation 14, the well of delusion. In verse 8, and another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And that's the enemy's full course and hope, that individuals continue to drink of that all the way to tribulation, and you get caught up during the time of tribulation instead of getting caught up in the rapture. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Because the drink of intoxication is a drink of deception, and it brings false vision. 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, yes. In verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? It says, but these are like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand. Why? Because they've drinking of the cup of the well of delusion. And will utterly perish in their own corruption. And will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam and the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by tempests, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Wow. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of the righteousness, and having known it, to turn from the holy commandments and deliver to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in mire. Wow. So they go backwards and not forward, do they? Is everybody okay? Everybody getting this? So you got to be careful of what you drink. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm not talking physical. I'm talking spiritual. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 11. Let's read it together. And this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like what? Cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are his sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Praise God. John 7. This might be one of the fastest Bible studies we've gone through. John chapter 7 and verse 37. John 7, 37. And on that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come. Let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not glorified. So he was talking about the drink of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5:18, and it says what? Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the what? Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Whoa. And I want to close at 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. The well of delusion. Make sure you don't drink from it. See, some people have drunk from it, and then they carry it, and then they want to spew it on you. So be careful. It can spread just like cancer does. In verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who was begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the what? So that allows you, whether you are walking in the born-again state of being. And there's a born-again state of being. It's a position. It's associated with the three chambers of the tabernacle of God. People who teeter-totter, who still dwell with sin, who are called Christians, dwell in the outer court. But you and I, as in this place, that born-again state of being, is the position of the holy place in the most holy place. Is everybody with me? It is the holy place and the most holy place. It is a state of being born again. It is positional. So someone who is born again should overcome the world, right? That means you overcome temptation. It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. But it means you won't break covenant. You overcome. Why? Because you will not drink of the well of delusion. See, when people are in the saved state of being, the outer court, it's easy for them to drink of the well of delusion. And then begin to pass it on to others. Is everybody all right? In verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Why? Because they are able to see spiritually. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by what? Water and what? Representation of the what? The drink. But by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is what? Truth. So they walk in what? Truth. Does everybody understand this? It is so essential that we are able to discern these things. That's why the Word tells us, be careful who you hang around with. That many will come to say that they are believers. And I'm not saying that they don't believe, but they may not be right with God. One of the most important things it is for us right now is to really learn the voice of God. There are people who still do not know the voice of God. They've been believers for 30 years. And the only voice they get is from the Bible. But I'm telling you, we've got to know the voice of God to be able to overcome. But if you keep drinking in of the well of Christ, the well of the Spirit, the blood of Christ, you will be more and more clear to see and clarity to receive. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. No more drinking of the well of delusion. We drink of the well of truth, the living water well, to be able to see and to be able to hear, so that we may walk in truth and practice truth and not look behind but go forward in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.